This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by the great folks at MEI Mouse Fan Travel. You know, when you're planning a Run Disney event, there's no better place to go than to the folks at MEI. They will help you with your resort planning, your meal planning, and many of the MEI folks are actually Run Disney runners themselves. So visit them at MEI-MouseFanTravel.com, or you can click on the link on the Mickey Miles Podcast webpage.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 93 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show today is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, the days of summer are beginning to wane.
Don't say that. You don't say that to a teacher. Don't you know better? I am not ready to give up these wonderful days. Been spending a lot of great time with my son Liam and doing lots of running, and not ready to go back to it. Are you? Are you ready?
I'm ready to go back to school. Yes, I am.
It's about time. Okay. Well, Mike, we have a whole bunch of things going on before we get to our question show today. The first one is the most important one. We have a very, very special shout out to somebody who's near and dear to both of us, and that is Becky Mankin. She's recovering from a little surgery, and we hope that she's well very, very soon. We can't wait to see her at Disney World upcoming events, and she's just a very special person, and we hope that she takes the time to recover.
Yeah, Becky is my little sister. I call her my little sister, and she loves to make the impossible happen. Anyways, let's go back to Michelle. She's got something else to say. Get well, Becky.
We have a few events that we want to talk about. The first one is just to remind people that we will be at the Dumbo Double Dare in California. Packing your bags, Mike?
I would say that they're beginning to get packed right now, at least in my mind. So haven't decided. I know I'm going to be packing two pairs of running shorts because I'm running two races. But other than that, I don't know what else I'm wearing.
Well, we'll all wait to see. We just can't wait to see what Mike will be wearing to the races. But we'll be there running the 10K and the half marathon, doing the Dumbo Double Dare. But we're hoping that people come and meet us at our meet, which is going to be on Saturday, August 31st, and it's going to be at 3 p.m. Pacific time. And if you want to, you can just stop by. You can be running, you can be spectating, and you can RSVP on the Mickey Miles Podcast Facebook page. You can if you want to. You don't have to, but we have about 61 people going so far. That's going to be at 3 p.m. at the Haagen-Dazs in Downtown Disney. So we hope to see people there. And Mike, guess what? I have another announcement.
You do?
I'm an announcement girl. So our final announcement before we start the show is something I mentioned on the last show. That is that our buddy Chris Eliopoulos, who is a Marvel artist and just a marvelous guy, he and I had a chat a few weeks ago about putting together a new T-shirt. And the T-shirt features his character Mort, but he's turned him into a Grim Sweeper. So it says, "Don't fear the Grim Sweeper." So what we did is we put together a page on Cafe Press, and all the proceeds, all the profits from the T-shirt will go to One Fun Boston. It's about $3 per T-shirt that's going to go to One Fun Boston. So that's pretty exciting. Would you like to know how to get there?
Yes, Michelle. Could you please tell me how I can get my Grim Sweeper T-shirt?
Well, you can get a T-shirt, a sweatshirt, all sorts of things. You're going to visit cafepress.com/MMP, Mickey Miles Podcast, Grim Sweeper. So it's MMPGRIMSWEEPER, and you'll see the display of all sorts of goodies there that you can buy. And once again, all the proceeds go to One Fun Boston, and a big, big thank you to Chris Eliopoulos. He's got a big heart, and he's a really nice guy.
Thanks again, Chris, and thank you, America. And as they say, Michelle, it's time to go on with the show. And today's show is a question show.
Our first question is from Sue in Pittsburgh, and she's part of a big group of supporters of this podcast called the Princess Posse. So Sue's question is, hi, Mike and Michelle. I have a question about training. My first race was the 2013 Princess Half Marathon. It was a great experience, and I followed the Galloway training plan. After the Princess, I had a 9-week break before my second half, the Pittsburgh Half Marathon, and I used Hal Higdon's Novice One training program for that, as I knew I could finish the half, but I wanted to work a little harder, as the course for my second half was much tougher than the Princess. Now I'm preparing for several races, the 10K, 10-miler, then the Glass Slipper Challenge. I begun my training season with Hal Higdon's Novice program for the 10K. My question is, 2 weeks into the program, I'm questioning training 6 days a week. The Galloway program for the half is 3 to 4 days a week. I like the mileage that the Higdon program uses, but I'm worried about training, overtraining, and or getting injured by running 5 to 6 days in a row for so many weeks. Is there a way to reach a happy medium with these two programs? Thanks. That's a great question, Sue. Mike, I know you have lots of thoughts on this. What do you think?
Well, in the first place, I think that one of the things that I would always try to avoid is it seems like she's looking at two different training programs, and I don't know if she's trying to combine the two or whatever. But I think, Sue, that there is a happy medium, and I think that everyone should always think when they are beginning a training program, if something doesn't work, then you need to figure out when and how to make it work for you. These training programs are designed for the average person. And that would mean someone who's right in the middle of the pack, someone who is trying to train and build to achieve a certain accomplishment, a certain race. If you find any kind of difficulty, then I think what you need to do is to assess and figure out what you need to adjust to. And remember, you want to make sure that you don't overtrain. I think that you pretty much have recognized that there is always a possibility of overtraining. I think running 5 to 6 days in a row is a lot. I don't know what kind of mileage you're doing. But I would think that it would be very, very tiring on your legs. I'm pretty sure Jeff would not like to see anyone run that many times. Michelle, you are using Jeff's plan for the Dopey, and I know that he doesn't have you running that much.
No, I think this is a really great question. And first, I'd like to say that although I am being coached by Jeff with e-coaching, I know many people who have followed Hal Higdon and been very, very happy. He has an e-coaching program as well. He has an app, and you know, I think for some people it's very, very good. I can only speak about my experience, which is that I overtrained for some of my races a few years ago, and that meant I was running, doing lots of running, and not doing much else, and I ended up with lots of injuries. IT band problem, neck problem, I had a stress fracture. So for me, I had to make sure that I incorporated strength training and then other things aside from running. So I don't really have an answer to the question about a medium between those two, because I think the philosophy is very different. I know that Jeff's philosophy is to get people out there running and to get them finishing safely. I'm not really sure what Hal Higdon's philosophy is. However, one thing I want to mention, or I want to ask you, Mike, does it sound to me that Sue is saying she wants to go faster or train more?
I think Sue echoes the thoughts and sentiments of a lot of people who have gone through, have run the first or second big race and are looking to improve. I think that many of us, when we run our first race, we see people passing and we say we want to go faster. And I think you're right. I think she's looking to improve her conditioning. I think she's looking to improve her running style, and it's obvious that she is looking to improve upon her time. So I think that's the case. I don't know if that's what Jeff's objective is. Maybe that's what Hal's objective is to enable you to run as fast as you can.
So I know that Hal Higdon has an intermediate program. Maybe that's the one that you should be looking at. But another caution that I have for you, Sue, and that is that running 5 or 6 days a week, to me, really, you may start to get burned out. And as our friend Eddie McCoy always says, running should be fun, and it should be fun. When it starts to become a chore, that's when you're going to just slack off with training, you know, in general, and not do it. So 5 to 6 days a week running is an awful big commitment. And I frequently say to myself, none of us are doing this to be in the Olympics. So go out and have fun. If you want to increase your time, I would maybe move to the Hal Higdon Intermediate or look at Jeff Galloway's plans for running faster. And other people have plans for increasing your pace, too.
I want to just finish that off, Michelle, by saying we are not professional trainers. We are just giving you our opinion, and based upon our experience and the experience that we have heard from others. So saying that, Sue, do what's best for you.
And I'd like to know what happens, Sue, so let us know how it goes.
Yep. Our next question comes from Nancy Cullen from the Bronx in New York, and she says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle. I'm currently training for the New York City Marathon and the Dopey Challenge. I did a 17-mile training run yesterday. The humidity was over 90% when I started, and by the time I finished, 3.5 hours later, I was completely soaked and chafed everywhere. Everywhere. All I had before my run were my son's A&D ointment, so I used that to put it in all the places that could rub. Clearly that didn't work. I've ordered Body Glide. On a long run, what do you use, and do you reapply during the run? If you do wind up with bad chafing, under the bra line in particular, how do you treat it? I look pretty beat up now. Thanks, and happy running." Well, Michelle, I think you need to talk about this.
Yes, I shared too much with Mike. I actually had, Nancy, almost the identical type of thing happen to me. I ran about 14 miles the other day. It was, I think it was 86% humidity. I started at sunrise, and everything was completely soaked. What I did, and what I always do before my long runs, is I use Body Glide. And I use it everywhere that is touching, skin might touch skin, or another piece of clothing might rub against another piece of my skin or another piece of clothing, everywhere. I've learned the hard way that can be an issue. I did have a little chafing, the same place that you did, and just treated it, just tried to keep that area dry but Body Glide all over the place. I put it in between my toes. I put it on my ankles. I use it even before I'm going to Walt Disney World. I put it in between my toes, too, because I used to have blisters, and now I use that, and I don't. I actually put it sometimes where my arm bends, because that gets kind of sweaty and icky. So the other thing I wanted to add, too, is that I've seen little tiny bottles of Body Glide that you can take with you. Honestly, I wouldn't do that during a run myself, because everything's all hot and sweaty, and I can't imagine stopping and putting Body Glide on. But I spend at least 5 to 7 minutes gliding everything up before. What about you, Mike? What do you think?
I think it depends upon how far I'm running. Mm-hmm. I think that, well, also the weather comes into play here. I don't use Body Glide. I think I use petroleum jelly in those places where I think I'm going to have an issue. And usually that pretty much does the trick. I think for me, I think anything over an hour is going to be the time frame which that I'll begin to probably have that kind of a problem. So, Nancy, I hope you have good luck with the future runs.
I think the thing that Body Glide does, for me anyway, that petroleum jelly doesn't do is it stays on and it doesn't break down. So that's why, because it's a different consistency than petroleum jelly. So you can get it at any running store. Go on Amazon and get it if you want to, or at your next running expo. But with the humid summer, you might want to get it sooner rather than later. I've actually also seen it like at Dick's Sporting Goods too. So good luck, Nancy. The next question is from Melissa, and she says, "Help, Mickey Milers. I went to kickboxing yesterday, and after I was done walking to the ladies' room, I dropped my iPhone on my toe. Ooh. It's bruised and sore, but I don't think it's broken. Not that you can do anything with a broken toe anyway. I'm using the Galloway Walk Run app, and today's supposed to be my long training run day. I can put weight on it, but it hurts. What to do? Has anyone ever gone through this before? Mike, what do you think?
Wow. I would say that if I were you, Melissa, what I would do is I would do what I would call alternative therapy. And again, I'm not a professional. This is a this is therapy that I used when I broke my ankle running in the 2006 Walt Disney World Marathon. My therapist told me to do this. And what it was when you get a chance, you put ice on your toe, then you put heat on your toe, then you put ice on your toe, alternate every 20 minutes. And that might stimulate your body into bringing nourishment there and getting that soreness out. It seemed to work for me. Anytime I have an issue with anything, I alternate from cold to heat, and that tends to work. I also think that you may want to maybe take 2 days off. I would take 48 hours off and see what happens, because if you continue to run without letting it heal, then it'll just be a prolonged injury. Michelle?
Well, again, you know, we don't know the extent of Melissa's injury, but I have had broken toe before, and there's not much you can do aside from tape it. But if it hurts to step on it, I would take a break for a few days. It's not going to hurt you. You're doing, I don't know what race she's doing here, but I definitely, if you think it's an issue, you should probably go to the doctor, but I wouldn't continue to run on it if it hurts. But if it's hurting just a little bit, I've taped it to another toe next to it, and it's been okay. So don't push it if it's hurting, though, Melissa. Definitely go to the doctor.
Our final question of the day comes from Brian. And Brian says, okay, so I am having troubles. I'm training for my... Training for my half marathon wasn't bad. I love races. The atmosphere is great, and there's lots of motivation. I trained for my 5K. I moved on to the 10K. I moved up to the half. All pretty good progressions. How do I keep motivated for the full marathon training? There are no races between the half and full to shoot for. I have a few half marathons before the full. But what do you experienced marathoners do for those long training runs between 15 and 26 miles? Do you just suck it up and do it? I really wish they had some kind of three-quarter marathon races to run. Michelle, you want to start off?
Sure. Having done my first, I know exactly how this feels. So I have a few thoughts about this. Number one, it should be fun. So we mentioned this earlier. If it's becoming a chore, then there's no reason that you have to push yourself to do a marathon, Brian. There are many other races that you can do. For me, it took me a while to get used to doing halves, to feel like I was good at doing halves, and focus on getting better at the half for a while before you move up to a full. If you decide you want to do the full, the things that I did was I started focusing about a week before I knew I had my next long run. I would start to get my stuff ready. I would choose music that was really fun. I would make sure I chose a route that was really fun. And another thing I did was I met other people who are training for longer races too and had them join me. And that was really nice. But I kind of spent the whole week getting psyched up about it, packed my stuff the night before, again, chose music and podcasts that I really liked, and tried to embrace it and know that whatever you do is going to help you do the race safer. But I think locally you might be able to find some 20 milers too before you pop up to that half. But it should be fun. So if it's becoming a chore, that worries me. That maybe you don't need to go to that marathon right away. What do you think, Mike?
I think everything you said, Michelle, was right on the money. I think, Brian, there's two things I wanted to mention. Look around for a 25K race. I think that's about about 18-mile run, and that would give you a taste of a little bit of a longer run than a half marathon, but not as long as a marathon. So something else I want to mention. I have a friend in Chicago who is running a race next month, but she's not sure what race she's going to run. Apparently, she signed up for a race, and she had the option when she signed up of leaving it open until the morning of the race. So on the morning of the race, she can choose whether to run a half marathon, a 20-mile race, or a 26-mile race, a marathon. I think that it's quite possible with the popularity of the half marathon and the marathon and the back-to-back and the ultra running craze that's going on that we will soon see something along the line that goes between a half and a full. With the many of the changes we've seen over the course of the last several months with Run Disney, I mean, they recognize that there is a need for a bridge between the 5K people, the people who are the runners who are doing their first 5K, and the half marathoners. For those who are doing 5Ks, they want to go up to a half marathon. They need a bridge, and the bridge is that 10K. And there's also, at one point, Disney had a 15K race, which was 9.3, I believe. So I think you'll see that. I think it may take some effort to look around, but go on active.com, any other resources that you can think of, and look for that 25K race. Michelle, do you want to add anything else before we close it up?
The other thing I would add, Brian, is use your social media to help get you psyched up about it. Post on Mickey Miles that you're going to be running, and you know, make yourself responsible for posting, letting everybody know how you did. And or, you know, maybe at the end plan something nice for yourself. Go to Sports Authority and buy yourself a new running shirt or some sort of reward for doing it. The thing is that training is really important. You can't skip it if you are going to do a marathon. But if you're getting bored, there are lots of other things that you can do. You know, run with somebody, play fun music, get some new clothing, do something to make it continue to be fun for you.
You know, Michelle, you said something as we finish this this question show. You said something that I'd like to throw out to our listeners and like to see their feedback on our Facebook page. And you mentioned the word training, and I'd like to know if there are any listeners out there who have recognized that there is a difference between just going out for a run and training for a race. What's the difference between running and training? If you feel strongly about it, if you have any thoughts, we'd love to hear from you, because we may just do a show on that and try to get an idea as to what's the difference between training and running. That about wraps it up for the questions. And as always, we thank everybody who emails us with questions or who posts questions on the Mickey Miles Podcast Facebook page. We want you to continue to ask those questions. We're coming up to the big race season. The beginning of the race season is launched with the Disneyland Dumbo Double Dare weekend. And I'm sure that there are a lot of you out there who are planning and training for your first race, be it a 5K, 10K, half or full. If there are any Run Disney questions, if there's anything that you aren't sure about, please feel free to write us. Remember, the questions that you send in, the questions that you ask, may be a question that many people would love to see answered. The Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And we've said it many times, if you want the best possible vacation, be it a Disney vacation, be it a Run Disney vacation, or anything, give them a try. They are experts, and they will do their very best to make sure that you get the very best treatment. Go visit them at MEI-travel.com, on mousefantravel.com, or you can get to them by clicking on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com. So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, my name is Mike Scopa. We'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.